Because it's July, one move of rest that we make around here is we give a break to our teachers who are downstairs in our oldest two classrooms. We give them a break, a well-deserved break. And that means the kids are with us. And so we thought this year, why not try and do some things on the Sundays in July that are maybe a little different? Because typically what happens right now is I preach to you for way too long, right? 25, 30 minutes. And what if we use that time differently? Still to engage with the Bible, but to do it in a way together. And what if we discovered together just exactly what God may want to say to us through his word? So we're going to try something this morning we've never done. It may go terribly wrong. I don't know. We'll find out. I feel like you're a group that's up for it, though. Are you up for it this morning? Maybe? Yes? Yeah, you're up for it. Right, that's who you are. So we're going to try something, a way to engage the scriptures. I'm going to need some participants up here, because here's how it's going to work. We're going to look at a story in Mark 5, and we're going to read a small part of it, and then we're going to talk about it together and try and get into the story using our imaginations. Now, adults are terrible at this. Kids, you will need to lead us. All right, we're going to try and imagine ourselves into this story, and we're also going to, in a way, kind of act it out together and see what we discover about this story as we do that, okay? So, Mark 5, if you want, you can turn to, you grab a Bible and turn there. It's going to be up here on the screen, though, too. These are the verses. And to get started, I need some volunteers. So I need someone who's willing throughout this morning. What I need these volunteers to do are people who are willing to come up here and be a person in the story. There's no talking, don't worry. No lines you have to memorize. You're just going to kind of be up here and help us imagine this story out by your presence. So anybody willing to volunteer? Okay, I got some hands. Okay, good. Good, because we're going to need more. Notice it's all children. Adults, any volunteer adults. I see Justin. Justin, I'm with you. I'm with you too. There's Chris. Good, thank you. Chris, thank you. Good, Jason. Yep. All right, so let's have Salman, why don't you come on up here? Salman, you're going to play a guy named Jairus this morning, okay? Stand right there. That's a perfect spot for you to start. Another volunteer, come on up. In fact, why don't both, Sydney and Sandra, you both come up here. And Madison, would you come up here too? This would be like perfect. You guys are the disciples, Peter, James, and John. So why don't you stand over here? Okay, now I think all the disciples are in this story, but only these three get mentioned. All right? So you guys stay here. Good. Let's see, who else? Yeah, both of my children can come up here. Justin, why don't you come on up here? Justin, you're gonna be Jesus this morning. No small role. Stand right here in the middle. You guys, just here. And actually, what I need is about 10 more people. At least 10. Just come up here. Just come up and stand by these two folks. Yep. Just come on up. You're the crowd. There's a crowd in this story. Good. Some adults, some kids. Lucy, you can come on up here. You can be a part of the crowd. I'm sure there were little kids here too. Okay. All right. Now, so here's what we're going to do. We've got our characters. We're going to read through this passage one time. Pay attention, those of you who are in this story, to what's going on to your characters, and then we're going to talk about it together. If you're sitting down right now, you don't get a pass. All right, you're going to have to participate here as we go along. But here's our section to get started. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd, large-ish, this is our large crowd here. All right, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. All right, now there's a lot happening in this story. Let's start at the very beginning. Let's help set the scene here. Who's at the very, very beginning of this story? Everybody, come on, just start shouting stuff out. So Jesus is here. Justin, we're going to put you front and center. What's Jesus doing? Yeah, so and let's get to the other side of the lake. Let's imagine we're on the other side of the lake, so we don't have water here or boats. So we're on the other side of the lake. What's he doing now? Healing people, maybe? Yeah. He's breathing, certainly. What else? Having lunch, perhaps. What do you think? Being crowded. I like that. Crowd, why don't you get around Jesus as if you were, yeah. Okay. So the crowd is close. That's a very likely possibility. In fact, we'll see that in just a minute that that's true. Maybe Jesus is eating, someone said. Maybe he's teaching. Yeah, that seems like certainly a possibility. Okay. So there's this crowd around him. Yep. Even get over here a little bit more, kind of really encircle Jesus. You are dying to meet this guy. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. Oh, here he comes. He's got to squeeze through the crowd because when he came and he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He fell at Jesus' feet. So I don't know. What do you think that looks like? On his knees, maybe? Yeah, possibly. Okay. What's happening in this moment? There's this crowd around Jesus. He's teaching him. This crowd looks happy. Are they happy that Jairus has showed up? What do you think? Maybe a little annoyed? Why might they be annoyed? You can just stand up. You can just stand up. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, like, hey, they were here first. Then this guy comes in. Yeah, look, they're surprised. What's this guy? You know, maybe they're unhappy about it. What else might they be? Indifferent? Oh, totally possible. Someone looking different. Someone looking different for me, like, there's another guy just adding to the crowd. Sure. He's a synagogue leader. Yeah, this dude's known. Yep. So maybe they're like, what's Jairus doing here? Falling at this guy's feet? Great. Yeah. What else might be happening? Anything? Oh, possibly. Yeah, that is possible. So maybe they don't like him. Yeah, they're kicking some dirt on him. Oh, wow, that's real brutal. Okay, maybe that's happening. Yeah. What are the disciples doing? They're not mentioned in this part, but what do you think is happening with them? They're what? Yeah, they're like, oh, geez, I don't know. Should we let this guy stay by him or maybe not? I mean, is he a good guy? Should he be here or not be here? Yeah, maybe they're talking, trying to figure out what to do. All right. So Jairus comes. He falls at his feet. What do you imagine the look on Jairus' face to be? Pain, pleading, begging. I don't know, Salman, if you've got that in you, but if you can find something deep to really touch on here. Yeah, this is a big deal, right? Desperation, yeah. His daughter is dying, right? So please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. What does the first part of verse 24 say? He just went with him. What do you think the crowd did when that happened? Okay, I think you're right. I think they would have, and we'll find out that, in fact, they did. What do you think the look on their face is? How are they responding when Jesus says, okay, let's go? Ah. Yeah. The synagogue guy just busted in, and, like, he's going to get all of Jesus now. Yeah, that doesn't seem maybe fair. Okay. All right, so scene one, well done. Everybody feeling good? I'm going to read through it again just to kind of let it sink in. If you want to, when we read any part of your part in this little passage, you could act it out here as we're going along, or you can just stand there like a bump on a log. Your call. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. All right. Next, we need another volunteer. There's another character in the story. You're already up here, love. Come on. Who else would be willing to? No, again, no lines to say. Yeah? Come on up here, Eli. No? Now, Eli, it's going to be tricky because you're a woman. Okay? This is a part of a woman coming. Now, what we're going to do is we'll read through this next little part here, and we'll see what happens before we act any of it out, all right? So let's read what goes on here. Remember, they're on their way to Jairus' home. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. That's a clue to you all in a moment. Yep. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. All right. So let's get into places here. Jesus is on his way. Justin, you're going to have to probably come away from the table a little bit. We'll pretend you're on your way. You can stay right there. Remember, what's the first thing we learned here? A large crowd followed and pressed around him. So this is not, spaciousness. Yeah, you're in the right place. Need some people around behind here. Yep, around behind. They're kind of walking along with him. Chris Frank, I love what you're doing right now. It's good. Good. The disciples are here, right? Disciples, you got to be somewhere in this mix because you've got a role to play as well. All right. So they're walking along, and this woman, played by Eli right here, touches the back of his cloak, just like this. Can you do that? Can you reach out and just touch his cloak? This is a critical, important part for you. No? Well, imagine it happening. Good. So she reaches out and touches him, and she is healed, right? Now, what happens then next? She's healed. Then what happens? Yeah, Jesus is like, whoa, 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 what's going on, right? So Justin's like, hey, who touched me here, you know? What do you think is the tone of voice with which Jesus asked that question, who touched my clothes? What's the tone of voice, do you imagine? Interesting. One option, the Batman version. Yeah. Who touched me? Yeah, no, okay. Maybe. What else is another possibility as we imagine this story?
Maybe friendly.
Yeah. So compassionate, yeah. Who touched me? Suspicious, maybe. Maybe.
Is it like, who touched me?
Maybe. Again, we don't know. We don't know. This is part of reading Scripture, a little side trail here, right, everybody? When you read the stories, especially of Jesus, but any story in the Bible, there's a lot that the text doesn't tell us. And one of the gifts that God gives to us is our imagination. We get to enter the story if we want to and ask questions like this. Well, what's going on? How might Jesus have said that? Because how you imagine that to have happened can really impact how you're reading the story. And there's not necessarily a right or a wrong. It's not always that clear. So you get to enter in and kind of go, oh, maybe he said it this way. I don't know, but maybe he said it this way. All right, so how does Jesus say it? That's one thing to think about. And what did the disciples do? Disciples? What are they thinking? Like, they're like, oh, what? Jesus, what are you talking about, right? You see all these people around you. How in the world could we know who touched you? Because everybody's so close. They're all reaching. They're all kind of pressing in here. You know, they want a piece of Jesus. Like, how do we know who touched you? Right. That's kind of their tone of voice. Yeah. Right. And Jesus kept looking, though. I love that verse. He kept looking. Kept looking around. Does he? Yeah,
he knows who did it.
Maybe. I think some people would say yes. Other people might say maybe not. Ah.
I wouldn't actually know because I'm just
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. You're just playing a role.
Yeah.
It's possible, totally possible, Stephanie, that it's rhetorical, that he's looking for her to respond. You know, that he's waiting for her to come to him. That there's something in that, you know, perhaps. It's also possible that maybe not. So interesting. That's another thing in between the lines that the text doesn't tell us explicitly, and we get to kind of imagine and wonder about that. All right, so this woman does come forward, fall to her knees, and she's what? How is she feeling?
Scared.
Fear and trembling, it says, right? Why? Why do you think she's scared?
Probably wasn't supposed to touch him.
Yeah. Yes, definitely with her position. She's, yes. Yep, she has this disorder. This bleeding disorder makes her unclean in the eyes of the Jewish people. And so she would absolutely not touch anyone because then they would become unclean. And you certainly would not touch a rabbi, a teacher. She's crossing all kinds of boundaries, plus she's a woman, of course, and she would not touch a man. So she's coming thinking maybe, what do you think? What does she think is going to happen next? She's going to get punished? Yeah. Maybe the crowd's going to attack her? That's interesting. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, so he's here, right? The story has shifted, but he's still around, and maybe she's like, oh gosh, of all the times and places, Jairus, he's here too, he's going to, yep?
Yeah, but he's his father.
Ah, this is a different woman. Good point, yes. This is an interesting story in Mark. We start with a story about Jairus and his daughter, and all of a sudden the story shifts to this woman. And in just a minute, it's going to shift back to Jairus again. So this is a different woman entirely. Yep. What do you make of Jesus' response there? Yep, to see who had done it. Good.
With fear and him, right?
Yeah, told him the whole truth.
Told him the whole truth.
And then what does he say?
Daughter, your faith has healed you. Mm. Go in peace and
be freed.
Be freed from your suffering.
Yeah. So what do you make of that last verse there, verse 34? Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.
In some ways, I think he's doing this publicly. She'd like to sort of remain anonymous, but by healing her in front of the crowd, they now can see that she's clean again. So he's giving her, he's healing her and giving her sort of this social freedom.
Hmm. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think that could be one way to read it. Jesus says this multiple times in the Gospels, your faith has healed you, and there's a lot of conversation by Christians throughout thousands of years now about what exactly that means. But certainly her faith plays a role in this, it would seem, her belief that if she could just touch him, it would make a difference. Okay. All right, so there's that. That scene's all happening, and now we shift again. Ready? While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. So we need some Messengers. I need some more volunteers. Sorry. Come on, adults. You're like out of kids pretty much. I need like three people. Just three people to come on up. Good. One, two. There. Good. Yeah, we'll take it. It doesn't specify, so good. Right here. Right here. Melissa up here by this crew. All right, so you guys, this is whole woman thing's happening. The crowd's around. These messengers are coming, and it's not good. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Then he doesn't let anyone but Peter, James, and John follow him. And when they get to the home, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. So crowd, here's what's going to happen. You're going to shift roles, okay, crowd? You're going to become the people at the home of Jairus. So crowd, why don't you go over there? Go over there. Just kind of, yep, perfect, good. Disciples, stay right here, excellent. You can go sit with your mom and dad again. Thank you so much for your help. Stay here, excellent, okay. So we're around here. There's a crowd around, and you all are going to come with some bad news. What do you think the look on Jairus' face is when this crew comes walking toward Jesus? Did you say, oh no? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Emptiness, depressed. You're right. Why do you think, oh no? What do you think?
He knows something
bad has happened. Yeah, he knows these people, right? And they're on their way, and that's probably not a good sign, right?
He's probably annoyed with the woman because she took up time.
Ah.
Jesus had just hurried.
Right. That's good. Yep. That's a really interesting little point, isn't it? And we didn't talk about that when the woman was here, but can you imagine they're on their way to his home? Jesus has said, yes, I will come to your home. And then he stops. And Jesus takes time to figure out who this person is. Why doesn't he just keep going? Who cares who touched you? Maybe that's what Jairus is thinking. Who cares? My daughter's dying. So, good. And then they come, they tell this bad news, and then they all travel home because Jesus says to Jairus, what? Don't be afraid, just believe. What do you think Jairus thinks when he hears that? Right. Good. Yep. Are you nuts? Yeah. What do you mean believe, and how can I not be afraid? So they get to the home, and what do they see? Let's all kind of walk to the home here. Just we'll pretend it out. Here's the home. And what's everybody doing? Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. I like some of what's happening here. Yep. Good. Consolement's happening. There's people on the step alone, just devastated. Yep. Jason seems happy for some reason, but everyone else is just heartbroken over this. Yep. And what does Jesus say? Jesus went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. What kind of laughing? What do you think? Yeah, now it's okay, Jason. What kind of laughing? What did the laughing sound like? There are different kinds of laughter. We laugh for different. Oh, it's like, huh, yeah, whatever, man. That kind of laughing? Yeah, maybe. Anybody else? Like a mocking laughter, you think?
Like they just threw tomatoes at
Jesus. Okay. Tomatoes at Jesus. Ah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Some people are questioning whether or not they believe he's the Son of God. He's a brilliant teacher. The girl's dead, and he says she's not. Wow.
Yeah. Not quite who we thought he was. Yeah, okay. All right, so they laugh at him. All right. So let's go back to our places. We'll just walk. I'm going to read through it one more time. So messengers, you're going to come in here in a second. Jesus, Jairus, disciples, come over here. Excellent. And we'll just read through it, and we'll kind of just try and imagine again one more time. All right? While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, if you would head on to your home, Jairus, yeah, you can come too. Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? Just like that. The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Okay. Good. Good. And we're almost there. We have one more section. And for this last section, there's only a few people. All of you can head back to your seat. Can we just give this crowd / crying component a hand? Thank you so much. You have to stay. You have to stay, disciples. Disciples, stay. Messengers can go back. Yep, thank you so much, messengers. We're down to just a few folks. We need one new volunteer, though. A new volunteer, please, if you would. You're just a new volunteer. Joanna, have you done it? Yeah, you did it. I see you. I see you. Sarah, come on. I mean, if I'm going to ask anybody, it seems about right that you would get asked. You are the daughter, the 12-year-old daughter, all right? Actually, where you are is just fine. Now, she's at this moment dead, right? So, oh, yeah, there you go. I was going to say you can stay standing, but she's like, mm-mm. That's right. So she is dead up in her bedroom. So here's let's read through it once. After he put them all out, this is Jesus putting all of the people out of the house. He took the child's father. Oh, we need one more. We need one more. Okay, Jeff, why don't you come on up? And actually, this is funny because, Jeff, you're going to play the mother. It's cool. Yep. Because here's Jairus, the dad, and the mom, and the disciples who were with him. And they went in to where the daughter was. Okay? Now, what do you think these two people are feeling?
Sad.
Sad.
Probably don't want to do this.
Ah,
it's
yeah.
Over, right? I mean, yep. Why can't I just grieve?
Yep. Yeah, good. I think that's really important. Disciples, how are you feeling, do you think?
Why are we here?
Yeah, why are we up here? Yeah. Maybe a little, yeah, what's, So it feels like maybe we're intruding on something. It feels maybe a little awkward to be in this space at this moment. I don't know have you been in a situation where you've been in the room with someone who has just passed away? There is something in the air, if you will. It is a unique space. And all that's going on here as they walk into this room. Jesus takes her by the hand and says to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. Now, what do you think?
Another day.
Excellent. What do you think her waking up looked like? I mean, again, this is between the lines stuff. But what do you think that moment was like for the girl?
Just like tired, get out of bed.
Yeah. So like, waking up from sleeping, maybe, yeah.
I mean, teenagers don't really hop out of bed.
No, that was a little quick, I think, yep. Yeah. Yeah, maybe she feels great. She's like, holy cow, look at this. Yeah, yeah. What do you think is happening here with the five people in the room who are kind of watching this unfold? Go ahead.
Like, okay, so like, for this, why are we here? This is stupid. This is not going to work. Then, like, she gets up, probably like a second or so of hesitation.
The shock. So they're shocked, yep. What other emotion might they have in this moment? They're speechless. They cannot believe this has just happened. Yeah. Oh, maybe they think they're dreaming. I mean, literally, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's like waking up from a bad dream that seems really real. Mm. And you're so relieved that one minute is dreaming.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
They're probably kind of
overwhelmed emotionally, yes, for sure.
Three of them are probably trying to figure out what happened. The two of us don't care.
They're trying to figure it out, yeah. And you're like, yeah, she's alive. Oh, my gosh. She's alive. Yeah. Good. At this, they were completely astonished. And Jesus gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. That's how it ends. This is how the story ends. Yes. Yeah. So why does he give strict orders not to let anyone know about this? Oh, okay. So maybe too many people start coming? Oh, maybe. Okay. Oh, interesting. I've never thought of it that way. Yeah, okay. That's good. Ah. It's quite a recovery, yes. So maybe it's to give space to her and the family. Yeah. That's what they might think. Yeah.
There's a big crowd out there, though.
There's a big crowd out there. They haven't gone anywhere. They're just outside the door. This is not a mansion we're in, you know, that they're like tucked away in the West Wing. They're going to go out, and soon this girl's going to walk through the door into this group of people who have been weeping and mourning. Yeah. He does. Yep, he does say that. Yep, it's kind of odd.
Maybe it's like so fantastic that he's worried that people, like the general public, will start to doubt other things. Like, oh yeah, he raised the wounded. And it's like too epic.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he said she was just sleeping when he goes into the house. So there's like
maybe, yeah. Okay, so this is interesting, right? Again, this is reading between the lines. And the beauty of doing this is that the scripture starts to open up new possibilities, and we begin to maybe see things we never saw before by simply being curious, asking very simple questions. That's all I've really been doing today, right? Like, oh, what do you think that person felt? Oh, how do you think they reacted to that moment? Oh, why did Jesus say what he did? And just asking simple questions as you read the Bible opens it up to you. All right. So I think the final question I have is, what did she eat? What do you think they gave her?
Bread.
You just died. Bread? Oh, that's a good start. But I mean, come on, maybe like something really fancy.
Fish. Lots of fish.
Lots of fish. That probably would be fancy. An apple. What?
A tortilla.
A tortilla, yeah. I mean, I would eat that.
Fancy.
They were probably fancy. Can we give everybody a hand here and just say thanks one more time? Well done. Have a seat. Well done. Thanks. Have a seat a sec. So what we're doing here today is something that you can do anywhere, anytime. And you're saying, what are you talking about? I don't normally hang out with 60 other people, you know, to act out Bible scenes. What I mean is that you can engage the text in the same way that we have on your own, anywhere. We took a very well-known story. How many of you have heard this story before? Can I see your hands? Most everyone. Yep. I wonder if today there was anything new for you that you saw, though, because of the way that we did this. We simply asked questions and used our imaginations to get into the story. What stood out to you? What struck you as we walked through this thing? How it felt to be loved.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Interesting how the stories interacted. I think when I read through that, you know, many times over the years, I didn't think about the transitions and Jairus waiting while he, you know, works with this other boy.
Yeah. Yep. They often are taken separately, and yet Mark writes them this way, I think, for a reason. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That is very interesting. What do you think, Sophia?
There were just so many people crying because the girl had died.
Yeah. You never noticed the large group of people that were there weeping and mourning the loss of that young girl. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Any other details, any other emotions or possibilities strike you as we walked through? Anything in the story surprise you? Nothing? The way Jesus acted the whole time was totally normal?
I'm still confused.
Because that middle story of the woman who touches him, he seeks her out.
He could have just kept going.
Yeah. And the other one, he tries to keep that one quiet.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
So the one thing that India, that I think, they went into someone's home, and we're all thinking of our homes.
Mm.
And their homes were.
Yes. Yeah.
The rock is small, and low ceiling. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing this, saying, we're not going to tell anybody. There's a huge crowd standing outside, and it's not like standing outside, on the sidewalk.
They're right there.
They're feet away.
Yep.
So
no windows, probably, right? I mean,
probably no windows. And so how is the crowd not going to find out?
Mm-hmm.
How? The next day she goes out, right?
They're going to find out, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys have really talked about some, I think, solid options about why Jesus says that. And again, this is something that people have been trying to figure out for as long as people have been trying to read the Bible. This is confusing why Jesus tries to quiet down, and on a number of occasions, the spreading or the telling of what's happened to someone being healed. I think, Jay?
I think it
had a weird beginning and a weird end. Can you say more about that? What was weird?
I think it was just some thing of wondering, because there was a ton of odd things that happened in the middle of the story, and it ended, and gave us something to eat, and it started, he just crossed the lake again.
Oh, okay. So they had, to you, the beginning and the end were unusual, or they were a little odd.
They weren't really tied together.
I see. Okay. Hmm. All fair things. Madison, you want to say something? Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, you're right. Did it? Okay. I think that's a great question to ask. Yeah. By the way, parents, do you see what's happening here today? If you're wondering, I don't know what to do with the Bible and my kids, and I'd maybe like for my kids to know about the scriptures, but I don't know, how do I do that? What have we done today? Right, we've taken a story and we've just invited our children to ask questions about it. This, again, I'm just repeating myself. You can do this anywhere, on your own or with your children. This is and see how they're engaging in this? They're very willing to engage their imaginations in ways that we as adults aren't always comfortable doing, but they'll enter this story if you invite them to come into it. So, and then let them wonder, all right? So there's one question. Here's one I want you to hold on to for just a minute. What will you take away from this story? It's always wonderful to ask questions and be curious and explore and navigate and ponder. Ultimately, though, the scriptures are meant to bring us into a relationship with God, to tell us something about who God is or about who we are. I want you to just pause for a moment and just for a second or two, ask yourself, what does this story tell me about God? Or what does it tell me about myself and my relationship to God? Just consider that here for a second. I imagine that there are all sorts of things that you could take away from this. Anybody willing to share here as we close something you'll take away from this story?
Anything is possible. You just have to.
Anything is possible, yeah. And that faith plays some sort of role in that, yeah. Everybody hear that? We can approach Jesus totally confident or completely ashamed, and he responds to us either way. Anybody else? Yeah. So you and Jeff, I think, are connected there in that thought. Yeah, I think that's powerful, and maybe why Mark writes the story the way that he does. Yeah. Yeah. Persistent looking for. Yeah. Yeah. I'm struck by the power. Maybe, Zeke, this is part of what you were talking about. She touches him, and that's enough. I don't know quite what to do with that, but I am struck by that, and that, I think, helps remind me, a very Western, very rational thinking person, to maybe open my mind and heart up to who Jesus is and just really who he is. I tend to put him in this kind of a box, and maybe he's a little bit bigger than that. Yeah. All right. Whatever it might be, this is a question to end with. And I think maybe in a way it leads well into this. I could ask you the same question about this meal that we share every week together. What are we doing here? You know? What is this story represented in bread and cup mean to you? What does it tell you about who God is or who you are? We do this, we share this every week because we believe that God meets us in it and reminds us about who we are. So as you eat the bread, as you drink the cup, as you dip the bread in it, ask yourself maybe this morning that question. What does this remind me of who God is and who I am? Because this, as we say pretty much every week, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Christ's body given for you.